But then again,
if you can't go to Toronto, Toronto will come to you. And you talk about the singing. Well, you could always put in your special request to Brother Zion. He might be able to help you. Anyway, brethren, it's such a wonderful thing to be back in Ottawa. And believe me, in our opinion, from what we have been seeing, you guys have a great thing going on here. The study before the services, I find to be very inspiring. I just like to encourage you to continue and ask God to continue to guide you. It's a wonderful thing. I was also very touched by that testimony by Ernie. And in a manner of speaking, it encapsulates to some degree my message. Because I am here prepared to concentrate on one word, and that's the word comfort. And I heard it mentioned twice. Comfort, from which we get the word comforting, comfortable. The Oxford Dictionary defined comfort as a state of ease and ease and freedom from pain or constraint. Brethren, I'm going to start with a scripture. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 3. From 6 to 10. So this seems a little high for me. Okay. And this is God talking to Moses. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, the Bible said, because he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, to bring them up to a land, to a good land, a large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Brethren, we are in the season of the Passover. God decided that mankind need to be delivered. The world as we know it, brethren, is in a fix. the only one who can deliver is God. God is the only one willing and able to come into the human experience and alleviate suffering. Brethren, the Passover that we celebrate represents more, far more than a tradition. Our life and eternity depends on the meaning and the fulfillment of the Passover that God has given us the privilege and the understanding to celebrate. So in attending the Passover, brethren, we are celebrating the mercy and grace that God has prepared for mankind. Like I said, comfort means a state of ease and freedom from pain and constraint. Constraint, brethren, reduces one's ability to properly function, restricts our mobility, in short, can prevent you from becoming all that God wants you to become. The Israelites were severely crippled in Egypt. It's not easy to function in a situation where you have no hope. You look at your young children and recognize that you have absolutely no control as to whether they become successful or not. Brethren, God decided before they even knew that he would go down to Egypt and deliver them. He had decided that, he prepared the leadership. He chose Moses. In his mind, he did not possess the ability nor the strength to stand up and speak to Pharaoh. But brethren, this was not about Moses. This was about God's decision to rescue the children of Israel from Pharaoh's bondage. Brethren, do we have any constraint that we think it is impossible for God to step up and deliver us, to bring comfort where it is needed? Brethren, the scripture in 2 Corinthians 1 describe God as a God of comfort and consolation, who deliver us who are in any trouble, that we ourselves might be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. So brethren, God is the great comforter. Whatever problems you or I might be experiencing, it's not beyond the desire of God nor the power of God to intervene in our situation and rescue us and comfort us where it is needed. Brethren, God is all merciful. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 1, he proclaimed to his people, and brethren, today we are the people of God. We have been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. And the scripture said, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up to be crucified on our behalf, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?" And that all things, brethren, pertains to life and godliness. Do we experience situations in which we think things are beyond my ability to cope with or to accomplish? Brethren, we can cease from relying on our own strength, because God is more than powerful. And as it says in the scriptures, he has made us more than conquerors through him who loves us. Brethren, the scripture said whatever was written before time was written for our learning and for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. God called Abraham and simply said to him, "Go. Go to a land that I will show you." He did not have any of the familiar support systems. He didn't even have the benefit of scriptures. But he held on to the word of God and proceeded to follow God. I'm sure God understood some of the things that came to mind. He probably questioned, "What am I doing?" But he did it anyway. But God brought comfort to him. He said, "Abraham, fear not. Fear not, Abraham. I am your exceeding great reward." In other words, God was saying to Abraham, "You are not in this alone, Abraham. I am with you. And whatever assignment I have given you, I will ensure that through my power, it will be accomplished." Brethren, we are the people of God. So there is no position, brethren, in which we could find ourselves that God is not there and able to deliver us. And if we are in trouble, he will give us that comfort, that encouragement, that rest which we need. He will do. So brethren, take heart. You are God's representative here, not only in Ottawa, but on earth. God is a foe at bringing comfort to his people. What are some of the things, brethren, that would restrain or constrain you from fulfilling the purpose for which God has created you? Is it fear, brethren? Are you afraid? When Jesus Christ was crucified, the disciples became fearful. On a day when Jesus Christ healed that blind man, I think it's in John chapter 9, people were impressed by the miracle. Their hearts were warm. They recognized that this could not be done outside of the confines of the power of God. They knew God was at work. But the scripture said they didn't say anything for fear of the Jews. What fear do we have, brethren? God is more than able to alleviate our fears. We tend to fear the things we cannot manage, we cannot control, and we cannot fix. The Israelites faced Goliath, and when he spoke, brethren, the entire army trembled. Here comes David with the Spirit of God, being prepared to confront this giant. And sometimes when you want to confront, even people who should be your ally will discourage you and tell you that you cannot do it. But the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Saul, who was the king at that time, started to tell David, you know, you cannot do this. You are not up to the job. You are just a child. This man has been a warrior from his youth. How can you conquer it? David did not listen to him, because he knew and he understood the power of God. And brethren, we should know and understand and live by faith and the knowledge of the scriptures that whatever position we are in that is negative, God is well able to deliver us. My brother Ernie just came up here and was talking about the things that God has done. And I know, brethren, that all of you have had experience where God stepped into your situation, rescued you, comfort you, put you on the right path, give you hope, assuring you that there is a positive future ahead for you. Brethren, that's why we attend church. That's why we embrace Jesus Christ. That's why we embrace the promises of scriptures. Because we know that in the end, it will all work out. That's why we separate ourselves from the world and the things that the world offers. It means nothing to us, brethren, when the Spirit of God is in us and we embrace that living hope that Jesus Christ brought to us. And when he died, that paid the price for our sin and ensured the fact that we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. So brethren, what do we fear? Is it sickness and diseases?
God is up to the job. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Fear of being forsaken, brethren? Jesus Christ said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Fear of loneliness. Fear of death. Jesus Christ conquered death. And on our behalf, we have been given new life. So death cannot triumph over us, because the resurrection answered that question. Jesus Christ himself was raised from the dead, brethren. So we have that assurance, and we can rely on his word. How have you been? Have you been comforted, brethren, by God? He would like you to tell others about it. I'm sure all of you, brethren, have been comforted, have been delivered in even very practical ways. Recommend God like you would a good workman. I myself am a guy who works in the trade. I never advertise. It's all word of mouth. People are satisfied with the work I do. They tell their friends call me. That's the most powerful form of evangelism. If you tell people that this is what God has done for me, like Ernie, it is hardly likely that people will be able to argue with you and tell you that there is no God. I have experienced God's goodness, God's mercy, God's grace. How could you tell me that there is no God? So therefore, brethren, our testimonies are powerful. It is what the scriptures say in Revelation, that the saints overcome the enemy by the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of their testimony. So brethren, what can we do? That question was asked on the day of Pentecost. Men and brethren, what can we do to avail ourselves to the comfort, the consolation, and the deliverance that God has prepared for us? Brethren, number one, let the scriptures be your most important source of information. Because in the scriptures lie the promises of God. In the scriptures you find perfect doctrine, correction, instruction in righteousness, that you, men and women of God, can be thoroughly furnished, prepared unto good works. Number two, brethren, focus on God. Concentrate on his position as Father. Jesus Christ asked the question, which one of you, if his child asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a serpent? I submit, brethren, none of us would do that. Jesus Christ taught us to pray, said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus Christ knows that his children need more than just bread and water. So whatever else is needed in our lives, brethren, he is encouraging us to ask. Do you need protection? Do you need guidance? Do you need favor? Blessings upon your children. It's there for the asking, brethren. Another simple point, brethren, use the Sabbath as a physical point, a demonstration of God's love for us. He's taking us figuratively to a land flowing with milk and honey. So brethren, while we live in this wicked and cruel world, things do happen. Sicknesses and diseases, alienation, pain, disappointment. But brethren, God is always there. The Sabbath is a symbol of rest. It's a physical assurance that God has prepared the ultimate rest for us. Like I said before, Abraham did not have the benefit of scriptures. But to him God said, "Fear not, I am your shield." That's protection. "And your exceeding great reward." To Israel, God said, "Comfort ye, my people. Comfort ye." Brethren, your iniquity is pardoned. To the church, Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Brethren, this world puts a lot of burden on us. We are strangers, we are pilgrims passing through an unfriendly world. The values that you uphold, brethren, the things that you deem important, like the will of God, the word of God, constitute a foreign concept to the world and its leaders. They are not friendly to the word of God. God has called you out of this world and has chosen you to become his representative. Brethren, when we celebrate Passover, the world will be doing something else. When we reach out to God for the strength to live the way that he has commanded mankind to live, the world is desiring something else. Let us not be entangled with the world, its ways of solving problems and doing things. Brethren, let us bear in mind that in dealing with our problems, be they private or public, let's bear in mind, brethren, that you are not alone. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people. Say your God. Thanks, brethren.